take our Bibles and turn to Colossians. I've been thinking about the verses that we learn during our meetings with assembly meetings with Uncle Dave that we had, and Colossians chapter 3. And as I memorized these verses, and as you have, and that the number of things that really struck me in these verses, and I thought we might just look at some of the thoughts from them. It's a passage that has a flow. As you read it, it sort of seems like it has a good flow of thoughts and of words, and it was an easier portion to memorize, at least for me anyway. But Paul writes to the Colossians in regards to the different false religions that were prevalent at that time and the influence in the Colossian church. And he reminds them in chapter 3 concerning the fact that it's the Lord Jesus Christ who we're identified with. It's Him and Him alone. The song that we sang, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He's more than life to me." And I wonder if that's really true in our life. The thought that I wanted to share is found in verse 3, but I'm going to read, I'll read those four verses. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." The thought that I was dwelling on in these verses is in verse 3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." What does it mean? What does the scriptures mean when we read a verse like this? "For we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God." One of the fundamental truths that we have in the Word of God, and that I admit that I know very little about, and that is the fact of our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. There are many truths that we find that is that brings to us such a foundation and such a sense of security from the Word of God, and such a sense of the fact that it's not only do we believe, but we also recognize that we've taken on this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're hid in Him. We believe what the Word of God says. And I think the truth, this truth, and it's so vast, is when we must take it simply by believing what the Word of God says about it. We are identified with Him in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. We're going to look at each of those. But before I leave this portion, notice verse 20 of chapter 2. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to the ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed show of wisdom and will worship and humility, neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Paul says, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, from the very fundamentals, from the very elements of the world, we're dead from those. The power of those things ought not to be evident in our life as a power, as a controlling thing, because we're dead. And if we're truly identified in Christ's death with him, then these things cannot have power in our life. Scripture says that, as we read there, that we are dead with him. What does it actually mean that we're identified in his death? Other scriptures begins by recognizing our identification with him in his death. But Paul begins here with the resurrection. The word if has a thought of since. Since ye then be risen with Christ. It's already taken place. It's a true fact that if you're a child of God, you've been risen with him to new life. Now let's go to Romans. One of the things that Paul writes is that, especially in Romans, is the fact that the law versus grace, that the law is no longer has power. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Made of a woman to redeem them that were under the law. And he was the only one that could redeem man from under the law. The law showed man the exceeding sinfulness of his own soul. And in Romans chapter 5, Romans 5, but when we, in verse 12, I'd like to begin. I just want to say this, that the fact that through Adam, we have inherited a nature that is in total rebellion against God in every aspect of the way. The first Adam, all died. The second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, man was made alive. Death reigned through Adam. And I just want to look at the different aspects a little bit on death. The fact that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sin. But the heart of man, which we have inherited as Adam by nature, from Adam by nature, is wicked. man's heart is wicked and deceitful, and who can know it? Nothing but wicked before God. Lord Jesus called the Pharisees, that generation, when he was here on earth, a generation of vipers. They were wicked. And it's just an illustration of the wickedness of man's heart that came through Adam. And I was thinking of that fact that death came through Adam. Life came through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that life and the power and so on that came through the Lord Jesus Christ is so phenomenal. There's so much that could be said about that, but I just want to read Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that is to come. Death came through Adam. And right from the beginning, it was sin. It was transgression against God. And even before the law came, there was a guilt upon the conscience of man. Man's conscience knew that they had sinned before God. It was not imputed to them, was not reckoned to their account until the law came. It was a period of time that's referred to as the human conscience. Well, when the law came, sin was imputed. And as we see through Scripture, as man's heart revealed itself as getting worse and worse, it only showed the fact that man who could not keep God's law needed one who was above the law to redeem them that were under the law. And I think we see here the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the one who came and who died on the cross for the sin of mankind from the time that Adam fell in the garden. There was no other way. And that's one aspect of the word death, as we see that spiritually man was dead before God, spiritually, when man fell into sin. But you know, so often today it's the opposite, isn't it? And even amongst believers, we're not dead to sin, we're alive to sin, and in a sense dead to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how sad it is. It's possible that we don't recognize in the full extent of the fact. And so often, we're not sensitive to the things of God. And we become alive to the rudiments and the elements of the world, and dead to the things of the Lord Jesus. In this truth that we see in Scripture, Positionally, we've been identified with him in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. Practically, in our life, maybe another story. How that is lived out in our life may be another story in our life. May not necessarily, we may not recognize totally the full aspect of what it is to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go to over Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. But like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, Paul is writing here concerning the fact that as a child of God, we have been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit baptism. Spiritually, we've been baptized into him. Some people teach other things that second baptism and second blessing and so on. But the moment we're saved, we're baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. We have all that we ever need, and all that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ is imputed to us the moment we're saved. And we're baptized into his death. We're placed under. We're identified totally with him. And when he died on the cross, we died with him. And sometimes it's hard to understand some of these things. But we actually died with him. We have died to sin, Paul speaks about. What does it mean, the fact that as we have died with him, that sin can have control in our life? Why is that? We've already died in Christ. We've already been identified with him in his death. Paul says that we've been baptized into his death. We've been placed under. We're totally identified with him in his death. Law could not produce this, could it? The law couldn't give such. The law did not have the power to forgive. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, there's the things in the past as God established the law, and he looked forward to the fulfillment of that law. He looked forward to his son coming to this world to die on the cross, to give his life, to shed his blood, that man might be redeemed from the curse of the law. Just as an illustration of that, I'd just like to go back to Romans chapter 4. In verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He called those things which were not as though they were. And God looked down the eons of time and called Abraham as the father of many nations, and had a great plan for Abraham and how this was going to come about. God saw it as though it was already fulfilled. It was already done. Hard to imagine that, isn't it? Because we're so limited in our finite minds. But to look beyond and to see as though God could see as though it was already done. God is not limited to time or space in any way. As though he saw it as though it was already done. And so in God's plan, for as we see in the Lord Jesus in his coming and in his birth, in his death, in his burial and resurrection, he sees that as a plan that he has set forth. You see, not only are we buried with him by baptism to death, but like also as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. Not only his death, but his resurrection we identify with. We're identified in his resurrection as well. But Paul says in Colossians that ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is hidden in him. Our life is concealed in him. It's all to be centered around him. And so often it's not, is it? So often our life is hidden in other things, and other things that crowd in our life and take control. We're dead, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. And Paul emphasizes, since we've been risen with him, we're to seek those things which are above. We've been raised up. We need to continue to lift our eyes even higher to see the one who is risen, triumphant in glory, in whom we need to turn to as to the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. So easy to be overcome by things on this earth, to be overshadowed by things of this earth. But so often we forget that we've been risen, we've been raised up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Positionally, we've been risen with him to new life. To a new life, so that we can walk in newness of life. Before I leave the thought of the fact that we're dead, I just wanted to go to this verse that I was thinking about, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. It's a very familiar verse. For he that is God hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hard to comprehend the fact that God made his Son, the perfect Son of God, sin for us. The sin offering for us. He knew no sin. The Lord Jesus was sinless, wasn't he? He knew no sin, he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, a great high priest that we have. When did he become sin for us? When did he become sin for us? He made him to be sin for us. When did that happen? I was thinking about this fact. When did he become sin for you and me? When he was on the cross, wasn't it? That he was made sin on the cross for us, the only time. We don't comprehend it, but God made him sin for us. Not that he committed sin, but he was made the sin bearer, wasn't he? He was our sin offering. The Father made him that sin offering that we couldn't offer to the Father. It was nothing that I could offer. It was helpless. And the nature of the sin nature from Adam. I had nothing. But the Lord Jesus offered it all. He offered the one offering, once and for all, for our sin. He was made sin for us in that hour. And we're identified with him who became sin for us. His death, burial, and his resurrection. And I just want, our time is gone, so I just want to, just to go back to Colossians, and I just want to end with a thought in verse 2. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. What am I setting my affections on? What is my love the greatest on? Is it things on the earth? Or do I truly love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything? More than anything that this world could produce? Is that what my love is centered on? What is our affection set upon? You know, we set a clock and we set it to the time and we go by that time, don't we? That's our time. But how do we set our affections? Do we look at it as God who saved us, who did it all, and our affection is truly focused on him? I wonder what our truly we set our affection on as we think of our identification with him in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Let's just close in prayer.